out this morning early. There was like a jolt in my bedroom. I was still trying to figure out what God wanted. I was not out of bed yet. It came very early this morning. There were two things that came. One was a pastor and his wife up in Maine. And I was startled by it. And that's why I went up to agree with my son for that particular family and that couple. Now, I have no idea what's going on up there, but I know they were on my heart. But the other word was, because of my Catholic background, which I respect, I heard the words, "Remember, man, that thou art dust." And obviously, those of you who are from a religious background, you get the next verse probably automatically, right? "Remember, man, that thou art dust," what? "And into dust thou shalt return." How many have ever heard that before? Okay. How many can agree with it? If you agree with that statement, put your hands up. If you don't agree with it anymore, tell me why. Yeah. Is it designed to go to dust? Not originally. And are you part of that origin, or are you part of the new? What happens if you get transfigured tonight? But you see, your confession is going to depend on your destination. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart, you what? You shall be saved. Yes. Now, if you confess that you are dust, and into dust you shall return, what kind of salvation are you going to get? Dusty. I like it. Dusty future. Or Holy Ghost future. Ah. Are you dead now? Yes, you are. So which dead is he talking about? See, it depends on the level of revelation that you want. Okay? If you want the revelation of the natural word, fine. But if you want the revelation of the spiritual word, you're going to get spiritual results. Which death is it that he's speaking of? Both. Thank you. For the one who confesses that he's going back to dust, what happens? He goes back to? And the one who confesses with his mouth that he is a new creation, what happens to him? Or her? Thank you. And if the Lord should, release his spirit to the dead in Christ, what happens to them? Yeah, what happens to them? When? When? I sound like a broken record, right? When? Mary and Martha standing in the midst of their backyard, looking up into the little bit of a mountain, and there's a round stone up there, and it stinks because they don't want to get too close. And Jesus says, "I am the resurrection." When? Oh, look at the difference in your concept already. Look at the response that I get. You've already now changed your heart. Because I'm painting the scenario. Was he the resurrection then? Is he the resurrection down the road? Is he the resurrection now? It's going to depend on you. When are you going to rise from the dead? In Christ? Now. In Christ? Now. In the Anointed One? Now. Whew! Now, come on, you got to swallow hard. See, I'm pressing you to really catch on. Okay? If you believe in the Son of Man, you are a spirit being living in a dust type of temple. Yes? Death is a position. If we choose. But if we go by tradition, and if we go by religion, we're going to be told what to think and how to think. But the Word will become alive in you at some point where He'll jolt you and say, wait a minute, that was for them and for those who choose. That's why both is important. Because for those who choose to go back to dust, they will. They will. Because they're choosing and they're receiving what they've been told. They're not going to the source, which is Christ Jesus, to find the truth. They're going by religion and by traditions, and I'm not blaming anybody. I'm just trying to tell you how important it is to get God's opinion of who you are. And how important it is for you to recognize, are you dead now? Yeah, but see, dead in Christ. The dead in Christ shall rise. The dead in Christ shall rise. When? They were sleeping. Yes, Paul said they were sleeping. Thank you. You see, there's a rest that's promised for the people of God. A rest from their works, a rest from their efforts, a rest from all the things that hinder. But most people don't want to enter. And that's in the book of Hebrews. But where I'm going today is in Daniel. So I want you to come with me. You see, the Scripture gave us an example of Christ Jesus with Lazarus and his friends and family. Yes? And he came out of the grave way before the rest. Yes or no? Now, if I remember correctly, there was another level of resurrection. When Jesus came out of the tomb, there's a scripture that says that there were many that rose at the same time and walked around the city of Jerusalem. Amen? Why didn't they wait in their grave? Why didn't they wait? Maybe they confessed resurrection early. Look at your neighbor. It's going to be up to you when you rise. See, is Jesus resurrected now? Is He alive in you and me now? Can we live the resurrected life now? Yeah, I'm prodding you. Are you living in the last days? Are you sure? Yeah, how many are sure? Okay, let's go to Daniel. Okay? I want you to just kind of, you can look at this later on and check the whole chapter if you want, but verse 29 of chapter 11. That's where we're going to kind of start, because I believe it'll give you an entrance into what he's coming to. At the appointed time is what I want you to see. He will invade the south again, but this time the outcome will be different from what it was before. Ships of western coastlands will oppose him. He will lose heart. Then he will turn back and vent his fury against the Holy Covenant, which is the holy agreement between God and man. He will return and show favor to those who forsake the Holy Covenant. His armed forces will rise up to desecrate the temple for fortress, and will abolish the daily sacrifice. They will set up the abomination that caused desolation. When did they do that? In 70 AD. It's been stopped since 70 AD. Verse 32. With flattery he will corrupt those who have violated the covenant. But the people who know their God will firmly resist him. Who are we talking about? Huh? Yes. Those who are wise will instruct many, though for a time they will fall by the sword and or be burned or captured or plundered. When they fall, they will receive a little help, and many who are not sincere will join them. Some of the wise will stumble so that they may be refined. Say, when I stumble, it's a design by God for me to be purified. That's why it happened. It's not the end of the world. Why do you go through a test, Maria? So that you can come up out of it and be stronger than ever before. Okay? So that they may be refined, purified, and made spotless. Whoa! That's pretty good stuff, isn't it? Made spotless until the time of the end, for it will still come at the appointed time. For it will still come at the appointed time. So God is saying to you and to me, the appointed time of resurrection has been in place for 2,000 years. Yes? Yes. I'll give you another example that I talked about a few weeks back, and I have a video at home. And it's a pastor, a black pastor from Africa. His wife would not buy the burial detail. She just couldn't buy it. I'm not going to my husband's funeral. I'm believing for a resurrection for him, because he's still got work to do, and his body was in the morgue. And he stunk. And they videoed the whole church service. Reinhard Bonnke was coming to that city not far from where her and her husband had a church. She had several children. And she instructed the person who was in charge of the morgue to put her husband in a coffin and bring him to church. And when they got to church, she said, I want him inside the building, and they wouldn't let her. So she insisted. She insisted that he be brought into the building because a service was going on upstairs. So they brought him in the cellar. So that's the only place that they finally, because she pushed and pushed and pushed, I want my husband in that building while that man of God upstairs is preaching. Yeah, he resurrected. And he smelled death on his own flesh for several days later. So when's the resurrection for you? When are you going to rise out of the dust mind? The dusty brain? The radical brain can come alive in Christ and be transformed. And that woman got her husband back. Because as the man of God was preaching, who had no knowledge of the one that was in the cellar. Zero information. The anointing was in that room. And it went straight down and touched that man that was actually out of the box, because they literally laid him on a table. And I believe all he had was a loincloth on. And he remembered when his body was invaded by his spirit. His spirit went back into his body and he was restored. When did Jesus come into that building? Or was he already in the presence in every heart that was there believing for a miracle? Or was he there for only one lady who wouldn't let up and said, I'm not going home with a dead body. I'm going home with a live husband. Do you understand? You see, what I'm trying to prod you into letting go of the old, whatever the old is for you, and to grab on to the promises of God and hold them in your heart and not let go. Not let go until you get what God has promised. Okay? Now, I want you to see verse 10 of, let's go to chapter 12. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress such as has not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, whose people? Daniel's people. Are we Daniel's people? All right. Everyone, doesn't say some, everyone whose name is found written in the book will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust. There's your word, my friend. Multitudes who sleep in the dust. Those who have confessed that they are back to dust. Is that clear? Yeah. On the earth, where are they? Will awake. Some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise. Look at your neighbor and say, wise up. Yes? Wise up. If you're not wise yet, get with it. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens. And those who lead many to righteousness will be the stars forever and ever. Like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, close up and seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end. Many will go here and there to increase knowledge. What am I trying to make you and shake you into today? I'm trying to take you to a place where you won't buy tradition, but you'll buy the truth of God. You won't buy somebody else's opinion about what's going to happen to you. But you're going to go to the Word of God and say, what about me, God? Are you really the resurrection, Lord Jesus? Does it really mean that when I go to that table and I take the flesh and I take the blood of the Lamb, that I will never die? Does it mean it? Or is it just something that you do to please people? See, I'm trying to shake your tree so that you'll bear good fruit. Because somehow, some way, you're going to understand that the New Testament is designed to take you out of fear into a place of trust. That there's nothing happening to you that he's not aware of. And the good news is that you're going to release these things into the earth and in those around you, sometimes without your even knowledge of any of it. I remember Reinhard Bonnke was interviewed on national television not too long after this resurrection came forth and that black gentleman rose from the dead. And they asked him, had you an awareness? Did you get a word of knowledge? And he said, I knew nothing. He said, all of a sudden, however, there was a shouting celebration that started in the cellar. Where are we? Are you catching on? What's going to happen when there's a shouting celebration that a person rises out of a dead attitude of dust and come out of it? Huh? Will you shake the people upstairs? Absolutely. Absolutely. See, the thing that I think that I was trying to make even myself understand is how much unbelief is still in me. How much of the dusty attitude do I still carry? How much of the old ways is still inside of my mind? How do I really think? Do I think like a born-again person? Or do I think like a born-again believer that's a part-time unbeliever? I can tell you this. When the Holy Spirit began to pound this word into me, because you see, there was a season, even after I got filled with the Holy Ghost, that I would go on Ash Wednesday, which, by the way, happens this week for many religious people, and they're going to go to the church and they're going to receive ashes. And I'm not trying to say that they shouldn't go. But I believe it was several years the Holy Spirit said, no more. You're not to go receive that anymore. And I thought, oh my God. I mean, a good Catholic has to have ashes. And somebody's going to try to deposit them on you if you didn't get to church. Anybody relate? Okay. So then I'm not picking on anybody now. I'm just telling you, God was pushing my buttons. And I said, Lord, you really don't want me to go? And so, guess what I did? I tried to get a formula orchestrated so that I wouldn't even be in town. Because I didn't want to listen to the accusations that would come from those around me. And as God would have it, all that day, God kept me in the office. And every Catholic believer came in and wanted to impart their ashes to me. They all came wanting to give me a gift of their dust. And I had to stand my ground and begin to say, no, thank you, I am not. And my first response was to begin to give excuses, you know, like I'll go tonight. And the Lord began to correct me. No. And I said, Lord, how do I respond? Because now I'm stuck, you know, I'm used to my traditions. And the Lord says, declare the word. So I said, well, which one? And obviously, 2 Corinthians 5:17 came. I'm a new creation. That was for then. Now I am of the new. And I don't need to be reminded. I know where I am, and I know who I am. And I'm a spirit being having an experience in the earth. That's the real me. And everything that's happening to me is to refine me. And to make me pure, so that God can put His purity in me. Yes. And yes, He will fill me with light and transform me on the day He appointed me to have it happen. Now, as I was studying this word, I remember one Wednesday night at Grace Church. This is probably between 10 and 15 years ago. And the Lord had begun to open up my spiritual eyes on multiples of occasions. And my spiritual eyes had already seen the Shekinah glory several times. I had seen the open heavens. I had seen several things in the realm of the Spirit. And this particular night, I came in and I sat down center aisle, kind of in the back. And the worship was still a little bit going on, and so I continued to pray, and I was trying to get out of my head because I was involved with some counseling, and my head was in the way. How many of you have ever had a head problem? Head being in the way, you're focused on everything that you've been in, and now you're trying to get out of your head to get into the realm of the Spirit so that God can work with you. That's your job when you're here. Get out of your head. Get into your spirit. Okay? So, I'm actually sitting down far enough in the back that now I'm just singing with them, but I'm not singing in English. I'm singing in the Spirit. And I'm singing with the song, and I've got the tune down, and I'm going at it, and I'm just rejoicing. And all of a sudden, Pastor Gino gets up. He stands behind the pulpit like this, because he was sitting on one of the benches. He comes up, and he goes like this. And he's just worshiping with the people, leaning. And I'll never forget his arms. His arms were both exposed like this, but not see his waist. And all of a sudden, I began to see his arms, and I could see right through them. I could see right through the top of his body. It was translucent like a light bulb. And it was all vibrant, full of light. And I'm, oh my God, oh my God. And my spirit's going 100 miles an hour, praying, trying to hold on to the vision, because I want to hold on. I want to see more. And his whole face began to radiate the light of Christ. Said, yes, God. By the way, didn't I tell you that was 15 years ago? When did Gino rise? When was Gino resurrected? When did the light of Christ flow through him? When was he transfigured? That night for me. That night for me. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, and some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. When did he start shining? You realize what I'm trying to do to you guys? I'm trying to push you out of your mental box. I'm trying to get you to see that resurrection is already in you. I'm trying to make you aware that the Christ, the Anointed One, by His Spirit, is alive inside of every single one of you. It's not something coming down the road. It's already a reality. Close your Bible. Put them on your seat and stand up. You see, my job today is to get you out of unbelief. And I want you to come up. I want you to come out of unbelief. I want you to realize that everything that's happening in you is for God's glory. It's not an accident that you're here right now. And by the way, we're going to pray for Olivia's family because they had a commitment that they had no choice to go to. So come on up. How many have a problem with unbelief yet? Yes. Come on. It's not a shame. You don't have to be ashamed of it. All right? Because I told you this morning, why don't you just have them sit right there so you won't have to force that into that body. Sir, please. You want to stand for a while. Okay, lift your hands to the Lord. Say, Father, I confess my sin of unbelief. I don't always understand. In my natural mind, the ways of your Holy Spirit. And when you say, dust thou art, that was the old me. I've already bitten the dust. I've already been buried with Christ. I went down into the water. And when I came out, I was a new creation. At that moment, I began to shine by the Holy Spirit. I'm already shining. That's why some can't stand me. Because the light is blinding them. So, Father God, open my spiritual eyes that I can see and experience those that are filled with light. And full of life. And see the resurrection as a reality right now. In me. Operating now. Every step of the way. In my spirit. Inside my body. Transforming my mind. I've got the mind of Christ. It's up to me to begin to manifest it. And confess it as a reality today. In Jesus' name.
question, Aaron? Any additions?
How many are being prodded right now because this is shifting things, it's shifting gears inside? Okay, see, my goal is to come out of this dust mentality. And if you have something that's happening and someone that's not well, begin to give them the good news. They don't have to bite the dust. They don't have to go back to dust if they don't want to. But if they choose to, God will respect it. Amen? The woman who believed for her husband, she believed beyond all of the pressure tactics. Yes or no? And it was already several years, because that happened at least 4 or 5 years ago. Okay? So you see, resurrection has already happened. And when this man began to give his testimony, he said, I know I am a modern day Lazarus. I'm a modern day Lazarus. Now close your eyes. Father, they have committed to go deeper and to understand your ways. And now, Father, I thank you for the grace to be poured out into them, to bring them up to where they need to be. Give them individually what they need to be transformed so that they can see resurrection in each other and inside themselves. In Jesus' name. Amen.